All right, if you'll open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to take one of the pew Bibles and turn to page 978. And we're going to be reading verses 7 through 16. 7 through 16. All right. Let's read. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. May God bless the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Father, as You shine Your light into us, and saved us, Lord, we were helpless, and even now, Lord, apart from Your grace, we cannot understand what You have for us. So, Lord, speak to us now. Work Your grace in me, in the people in the pews, and accomplish good for us and glory to You. And we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We are continuing our trek through chapter 5, and these commandments that Paul is giving the church and how they are to live the Christian life. Just a quick review. The book is divided roughly in two parts. The first three chapters explaining who we are in Christ, meaning what Christ has done for us and what He has made us as a result of His work. Essentially, we are the chosen, adopted, redeemed, made alive, infinitely loved people of God. And so in light of that, chapters 4 through 6 are Paul's instructions on how to live as those people of God. That's who we are, chapters 1 through 3 says. It describes who we are. And so chapters 4 through 6 is commanding us what we are to do in light of what Scripture says we are, who we are. Okay? So Paul is using a couple different images here in chapter 5 to communicate the need for Christians to be holy and obedient to God. He used the parent-child relationship in verses 1 through 6 that we saw last week. And now this week he is using the contrast between light and darkness. So in today's passage, verses 7 through 16, Paul is once again highlighting the transformation that has taken place in a believer from when we were lost to now that we are saved. In this case, we have been transformed from darkness to light. Paul calls believers children of light. And he instructs us here that we are to live like children of light by doing three things. We are to walk in the light. We are to expose the darkness, and we are to be wise. As children of light, we are to walk in the light, expose the darkness, and be wise. Okay? And you'll see the outline there in your bulletin if you want to follow along with that. I encourage you to do so. So we begin with what it means to walk in the light. Paul says in verse 7, therefore, do not become partners with them. Again, The word therefore there is referring to last week's passage. It's a connector word. And let me just say, I bring this up. I bring up things like this is a connector word or whatever, to because my goal in preaching each week is not just to give you information, not for you just to sit there and let me explain to you what the text is saying, okay, and applying it to your life. My goal is also to help you as we go through these passages, actually to learn how to study the Bible on your own. So I'll bring out things like, this is a connector word, therefore, okay? So you look for that. So you take that and you want to look back to what came previously before that. I'll also mention that the word therefore is mentioned several times through chapters 4 and 5. And so actually as you go through and see this pattern here through chapters 4 and 5, it seems like Paul has organized his material at chapters 4 and 5, and he uses that word therefore to demonstrate it. So these aren't just random commands through chapters 4 and 5, that Paul has an organization, a structure to all of this, and he uses the word therefore repeatedly to show that division. So when you see words repeated in Scripture in a particular passage, that's another clue that the author is doing something there when you see a word repeated over and over and over. So again, I bring these things out to you because again, I want you Bibles open, following along, hopefully taking notes, and actually learning as we go along how to study the Bible on your own. Okay? All right, because in a sense we're doing Bible study, obviously expositional preaching, but through that we're studying God's Word. So anyway, so that's a little sermonette on the side there. But again, verse 7, Paul is referring back to who he was talking about in verse 6, okay, from last week's passage, and that was the sons of disobedience, those who will not inherit the kingdom of God because of the sin they refuse to give up. They refuse to repent, and so they are showing themselves to be sons of disobedience and not part of the kingdom of God. So Paul warns the believers in verse 7 not to partner with them or participate with them in their sinful actions. Okay? And then in verse 8, Paul gives his reason why. He says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." In other words, you're not like that anymore. You're different, okay? You were sons of disobedience. You were outside of God's grace, outside of His kingdom, but you've been brought in. You're not dark anymore. You're light in the Lord. Now, obviously, we are speaking here metaphorically. We're speaking symbolically here. Darkness symbolizes evil, death, and ignorance, lostness. Light symbolizes, according to verse 9, what is good and right and true. And Paul says the believers in Ephesus and believers all over the world have been changed from darkness to light. Paul is speaking here of the conversion that happens to us in Christ. But notice how he doesn't just say, or does it say, you were in darkness, but now you are in light. In other words, he is showing through the way he wrote this is that we are not saved because we cleaned up our lives. We cleaned ourselves up, got rid of the darkness, and entered the light. That certainly happens when we come to Christ, but it's not how we are saved. He says, you were darkness, and now you are light. In other words, darkness was who we were. It was our very being. It wasn't just a problem we had. It was who we are. We were darkness. We were evil. And that is all the way through Scripture. That's what all of Scripture describes, the condition of every man and woman that is without Christ. In our natural selves, we are spiritually and morally evil, dead and ignorant in regards to God. And so our actions, our lives, depict that condition. Even in what appears to be a person who we would describe as a good citizen. You know about that. We all know those people who rarely ever grace the doors of a church. So you really wouldn't say they're a Christian, but you would describe them as a good person. It is somebody who's always willing to give the shirt off their back, and just well thought of throughout the community. That's just a good guy. Okay, Scripture would say even that person, if you scratched deep enough, if you pushed hard enough, a person's darkness, even that person will come out. It'll come to light. We are all helplessly fallen creatures deserving of God's judgment for all our dark ways. And so what we need to understand, folks, is that a real conversion from darkness to light must happen in us to be saved. And that conversion happens in Christ. In Christ we are saved from God's judgment because Christ shined His light on us. In John 8:12, Jesus says to a crowd at the temple in Jerusalem, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus can say He is the light of the world because, first of all, He's God. And Scripture says God is light, meaning He is the source of all that is good and right and true. Okay? There is no other source. Okay? No one can have the idea that they can be good and right and true outside of God. He is the source of it all. But secondly, Jesus is light in that He shined His light of goodness and truth into the darkness of sin and rebellion and saved us. He gave sinners the ability to see, just like when Jesus healed the blind man in John chapter 9, giving him sight. Jesus shined light into our dark eyes, or really our dark hearts, and gave us the ability to see. And the cause of all this, of course, is the cross. In the cross, Christ revealed the truth about God and His love and mercy and truth about us and our sin. And in His sacrifice, He earned the grace to be given to us, to give us eyes to see and trust in Christ to be saved. And so now, through faith in Christ, we are united with the light of the world Himself. And He says nothing can separate us from Him. And so, and through our union with Him, He is infusing more and more light into us every day to reflect His ways more, so that we become a light to the world as well. So the light of the world, Jesus Christ, saves us and unites us to Himself, so that in our union with Him, we're transformed so that we can be a light to the world, that we can live as children of light, so that we can walk in the light. So that's what Paul says. You're light now. You can't live as darkness because I've made you light. And of course, this is backed up in other passages of Scripture. In Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And that's what Paul calls us to as well. We are to walk as children of light, verse 8, and in verse 9 and 10. As a result of that, we're as children of light, we are to do good, to do right, to do true, and do what is pleasing to the Lord. So, the first step, seeing how we became children of light, The first step in walking as children of light is to believe you had nothing to do becoming that light. We were darkness, and now we are light in Christ. The key is to put all of your hope in Christ and to not trust in any way in some inherent light within yourself. Folks, what we can so easily do, it is a constant battle, essentially, for us as Christians, to trust completely in God's grace, to not depend on any goodness in us whatsoever. Okay, this is why it's so important to renew our minds daily on the gospel, on the truths of Scripture, because we so easily tend to slide back into this idea that somehow there is good in us, there is light in us, and so we begin to depend on our own efforts, our own strength to live the Christian life. But folks, the key to living this Christian life, the key to being a light to the world, is to put all of our hope in Christ and trust nothing. Truly believe there is no light within us. There is no good naturally within any of us. Because what happens when we do, what happens when we put our, when we begin to depend on ourselves and depend on our own efforts and our own goodness and our own light, we fail. We fail. And that can become extremely discouraging. We will be a city on a hill and bear the fruit of light when we are filled with confidence in Christ's righteousness credited to us. The power to walk as children of light is to fully embrace that we have no light of our own. Our light is Christ's light given to us. The more we believe in the light of Christ alone, the more good we will be seen in our lives. Again, our light is really nothing. It is weak. It is like a flashlight with a battery going out. And it's just blinking and blinking and then finally goes out. That's our light. The only way we're going to impact our families, our church, our communities, our world, those we struggle with, anybody, is when we are completely dependent on the light of Christ to shine through us. Acknowledge we have none of our own and be completely dependent on Him. So that brings us to our second point and how we are to live as children of light. We are to expose the darkness. In verse 11, Paul says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. While the works of light produces fruit," here, according to Paul, "fruit that is good and right and true, the works of darkness are obviously unfruitful. They hurt. They cause pain. And in fact, verse 12 says, "For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret." The works of darkness are done in the dark for a reason, Paul says. So then Paul comes back in verses 13 and 14 saying, "But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light." So Paul seems to be saying here that part of walking in the light is to be intentional about exposing darkness. Part of walking in the hope and the beauty of the light is to be willing to face the ugliness of sin with the hope of seeing transformation. Light is supposed to expose darkness and remove it. So how should we see this lived out in our lives as Christians? Well, I think one is very personal. It is confessing sin that you are struggling with to another believer. If you have a sin that you are struggling to overcome, and that's like, you know, it's like a redundant statement or something, you know, if, like we all do, right? Okay, so don't sit there and think, well, I don't think I have one. No, you do. You do. Okay? So, because you have a sin that you are struggling to overcome, okay, let me put it that way, you need to confess it to another believer for help. Expose it to the light of another child of light. As Christians, we expose our darkness by confessing it to other believers, bring it into the light to be dealt with. Yes, I know Paul is saying we are light now. We were darkness, now we are light. But the reality is, in the Christian faith, is we are light because we are united to Christ. We are light because we have Christ's light credited to us and shining through us, okay? But the reality is we won't be perfect light until this life is over, until sin is finished. And so we live with a certain amount of darkness within us that we as children of the light are supposed to be seeking to expose and get rid of. You following me? And so that is why we have one another to do that, to lean on each other. Now we might think, well, I don't want to tell someone because it would be embarrassing. Okay? I understand that. Fighting sin is painful and it is humbling. Okay? It is the most humbling experience, I think, of all. Okay? But here's the thing, folks. This type of attitude is why we often have such pain in our lives. Our pride is greater than our love for others. One of the biggest hindrances to the church, to this church, to each one of us, is that our pride is often greater than our love for one another. Our sin hurts others, but we are more concerned with how it might affect us if we are honest with our sin. So confessing, look at it this way, confessing sin is actually a way of protection for us, protecting ourselves from ourselves, and also for those we care about, at least in the long run. It might be immediate pain, but there is long-term blessings in doing so. Another way we expose darkness is in our efforts to shine our light into the lives of others. One of the clearest examples of exposing darkness with light in our nation's history, I think, was the civil rights movement of the 1960s. Segregation had been around for a long time. Some of you were living back in those days. You know very well what segregation was like. It was entrenched in the fabric of our society here in the South. And what changed that was the nonviolent protest, and in particular, television. When segregation turned into pictures on TVs across the country of whites beating blacks, and this is important, blacks not fighting back, all of a sudden, the darkness of segregation and the racial hatred it had been hiding was made more visible. And it wasn't that other blacks were affected watching it on TV. I mean, they already knew. What changed everything was that whites saw it. They saw their own sin through blacks being willing to suffer from the hate and retaliation, and hate of whites, and not retaliate. The light was shined through the suffering, and it changed people. And in the same way, we as Christians are to live in light of God's goodness and righteousness and truth with the hope that it will be in such contrast to the darkness around us, that it exposes it and reveals how ugly and evil it is. And those who are in that darkness will hopefully turn from it and put their hope in Christ, the light of the world. In verse 16, Paul says the days are evil. What he means is that the world is full of evil. There is much evil and darkness in every culture, in every nation, in every community. And so to be children of light, seeking to expose the darkness, means we must have a posture that is counter to our culture. Are you following me? To be a Christian, to be a child of light, to be walking in light, is to be intentional about exposing darkness, which is everywhere. And so to be that child of light, we have to be in an intentional posture of being countercultural. Okay? So what does that mean? What does it mean to be countercultural? Well, first of all, it doesn't mean that we separate ourselves from everybody. Okay, just circle the wagons, right? All right? It doesn't mean that you put your kids in Christian school. It doesn't mean that you have to patronize only Christian businesses. Now, I'm not criticizing anybody who does put their kids in Christian schools. We've done some of that, certainly homeschooled in these things, but we're not going to condemn you and say that's what you're supposed to do. You can be in a Christian, be in a public school and be a light to the people there, or go to businesses who are the owners can be very ungodly. That's not countercultural. That's when we're just separating ourselves. That's what it is. It's just separating. It's hard to expose darkness when you are nowhere near it. Okay. It also doesn't mean that you assume that everything that comes from popular culture is automatically evil. People who live in darkness are still made in the image of God, and according to Romans 1, they still have some understanding of the truth. They just suppress it due to their unbelief. So they are capable, you know, of doing some good and some just things, but it's simply not pleasing to God because it's tainted with sin and it's not offered by faith in Christ and His mercy. So it's unacceptable to God. So having said that, being countercultural simply means to go against what the culture does that is against God's Word. We don't go along with the crowd, what is accepted by the majority. We are willing and ready to go against the majority when the majority goes against God's Word. We are willing to agree when there's agreement and disagree when there's disagreement. And when we do that, we allow people to see the difference. And by grace, people can see their sin and be saved and transformed. So we need to be seeking to expose darkness. We have to go to the darkness and shine our light in it. We don't participate, as Paul said earlier, in things that are ungodly, that the sons of disobedience do. Yet there is still much that we can involve ourselves in to speak into the lives and be an influence to the world around us. But please understand, folks, most of being countercultural is done not focusing on what we are against, but about what we are for. Darkness does not expose darkness. And we got to understand the difference. Okay? And so trading in one kind of hate for another kind of hate doesn't change hate. What exposes the darkness of sin is the light of God's love and His truth. So it begins with walking in the light, dwelling in the light, dwelling in Christ. And so as He so transforms us, we're able to love others in Christ and be a true light to them and expose the darkness. And of course, this is mostly lived out in our personal lives. So we need to ask ourselves questions. Do you want your spouse or your children to turn from certain sins? If you desire change in your spouse or your children, then you can't respond to their sin with your own sin. You must respond with light. Light exposes darkness. Darkness does not expose darkness. It just perpetuates it. If you're struggling with coworkers, do you ever examine yourself and say, where am I not demonstrating light to them? Am I seeking to be an example so they can see the difference and allow their darkness to be exposed? These are questions we need to ask ourselves and be honest with ourselves on. And when we find areas where we're falling short, not only do we seek to change, but we confess it to another believer to help us, hold us accountable to walk in the light. Finally, the third way we live as children of light is to be wise. The second half of verses 14 and 16 says, second half of verse 14 through verse 16 says, therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. I see these verses here as a summary of this section. Paul turns to a quote to sum up what he's saying in verse 14. Some scholars believe Paul's quoting Scripture in Isaiah. Others believe it's a hymn that the early church sung. But in either case, it is a reminder to believers of their original call when they first believed. The sleeper was the spiritually dead man living in darkness, and at the hearing of the good news of Jesus Christ, that He has come to give them life and save them from their sin, they are to come to Him and He will shine His light on them. And then from that moment of salvation, we are to live in the light by following verse 15 and being wise, making the best use of the time. And where does wisdom come from? When he speaks of being wise, where does that come from? Well, Paul reminds us in Timothy, he reminds us in 2 Timothy 3:15, saying, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Our wisdom, folks, comes from the Lord, and that wisdom comes from His Word. This is going back to actually to verse 23 of chapter 4, where Paul talks about being renewed in the spirit of our minds, retraining our minds on the Word of God. The light we desire to shine through us can only do so as we train our minds in the light of Scripture so that we can live it and share it with others. And then, with that training of our minds, we are to make the best use of our time. Our time is limited on this earth. So how are we using it? Are we using it to prepare ourselves for the day we meet the Lord? Are we using it wisely to prepare others for that day? Are we loving our families, walking in light for them to see and imitate? Are we doing so for our brothers and sisters in the church? Remember what Hebrews 10 tells us, to not forsake the gathering of ourselves together, but to encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We're commanded to gather together regularly, to encourage each other, preparing each other for Christ's return. The days are short, folks. The days are short. Are we doing so for a lost and dying world? I don't know if you saw it this past week, but Hugh Hefner died. I hear some chuckles because you may know what he represents. And it's a sad thing, knowing his life. I mean, he represented debauchery more than probably any other American. And he represented, he's the poster child of debauchery. And he died. And now he is suffering. If there is anything true about our faith, then that man has to be suffering in eternal punishment. But he's not alone. He's not alone. We live among people all the time. We associate with people all the time who will see Hugh Hefner in hell. Unless there is a major conversion, transformation in their lives, where the light of Christ shines in them, in their darkness, and rescues them. And the question for us is, are we at all burdened for those people? Are we at all burdened for the lost and the path they are on? We are to be light shining in the darkness. We are to be wise and to use our time wisely, because the days are short. We have folks that we see every day that could be gone tomorrow. So Christian, you are light. Christ has broken into the darkness of your life and saved you. He has set His love on you, and He is working in your life to conform you more and more to His image, His likeness, so that you are light for others. Are you a perfect light? No. Neither am I. None of us are. But in Christ, we are light. Because we are united to Him. Because of that, we can truly believe, according to His promises, that we are light. And here's the thing, folks. In reality, in the fact that we are seeking to rescue other sinners, in many ways, the fact that we are not a perfect light is a good thing. And what I mean by that is it demonstrates, when we speak of the fact, our confidence, our assurance that we are in Christ and that one day we will spend forever in heaven with Him, when we express that confidence to a lost world, okay, but they see some of our faults, okay, as long as we are walking in humility and are willing and able to admit our faults, then we can have a powerful testimony. We show the fact that we are not perfect light, yet we are seeking to walk in the light, in Christ, okay? Shows that our confidence is not in our own ability. Our confidence is not in our own ability to walk in righteousness. Our confidence is in Christ alone, that He saves the worst of sinners. And so that is good news for a dark world, that there's hope for them. They know innately in themselves that they can never live up to God's standards. And so when we live as imperfectly as we do, by faith in Jesus Christ, striving daily to walk in that light. Again, we don't give up. We don't say, well, I can never be perfect, so I'm just going to live however I want. No, we strive daily to live in that light, confessing our sins daily that we fall short. When we demonstrate that to this world, it brings them good news. That if they trust in Christ, that His mercy is for them as well. So, if your light seems very dim one day, oftentimes most days, right? Confess it. Remind yourself of His promises of mercy and love. And begin again the next day. But Janessa's got me on this diet. Yeah. And the beautiful thing about this diet is Janessa repeats all the time, you can always start over 3 hours later. And literally, the way this diet's set up is if you mess up, okay, if your day's not ruined, just 3 hours later, when it's time to eat again, you eat the right way. Okay? All right? And so, same here. Okay? You fall short. Remember that His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every moment. Confess, believe, and be a light to the